Sadvaitam Savadhutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Svitam Shah Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchen Gorangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Prishnabhada Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhye Vucha Vajyanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadhar Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 18, The Battle Between Lord Boar and Hiranyaksha. Text 12. Twam para ratanam kila yuta pa yuta pa aripa Gatasva na asvastaye ashu anuha samstapya cha asman pramrija ashu svakanam Ya swam pratigyam na atipi parti asabhya twam pararatanam kila yutapatipo Katasvano swastaya ashvanuha samstapya chasman pra mrishastru swakanam yasvam pratigyam Nati pi part yasavaya Tvam pararatanam kila yuta padipo Katasvano swastaya ashvanuha Samstapya chasman pramrish jashru swakanam
Samstapya chasman pramrish
jashru swakanam Yasvam pratigyam nati pi part yasabaya
Yasvam pratigyam nati part yasabaya
Ampatratam kila yuttapadipo
Katasvano svastaya asvanuha
samstapya chasman pramrijasru svakanam
Pam you Pararatanam of foot soldiers. Kila, indeed. Yutapa, of the leaders. Adipa, the commander. Gatasva, take steps. Na, are. Asvastaye,
for defeat.
Ashu, promptly. Anuha,
without consideration.
Samstapya,
having killed.
Sha, and. Asman,
us.
Pravrija, wipe away. Ashru,
tears.
Svakanam, of your kith and kin. Yaha,
he who.
Swam,
his own.
Pratigyam, promise word. Na,
not.
Adipi party, fulfills.
Asabhya,
not fit to sit in assembly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. You are supposed to be the commander of many foot soldiers, and now you may take prompt steps to overthrow us. Give up all your foolish talk and wipe out the cares of your kith and kin by slaying us. One may be proud if he does not deserve a seat in an assembly if he fails to fulfill his promised word. Purport, a demon may be a great soldier and commander of a large number of infantry, but in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is powerless and is destined to die. The Lord therefore challenged the demon not to go away, but to fulfill his promised word to kill him. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Puristaya Vidaya Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Vasakatya Desidharane. As you know, Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma tame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyatva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorajana. That if we know in tatvataha, in truth, that is factually by experience about Krishna's appearance and activities, the fact that they're divine, then we become eligible to enter into the spiritual realm of consciousness. And here, one aspect of Krishna's personality is revealed, just like in the nectar of devotion. It explains Krishna's Dhira Lalita, Dhira Prashanta, different types of personalities. So one of them is Dhiradatta. Actually, I think it's the Dhiradatta. He's envious and he goes after his enemies unrelentlessly, just like when one personality, let's see, who was that? Comes with a P. Who's the one? Pundraka. Pundraka had gotten, according to our acharyas, the benediction that he could get some, he could look like Krishna to some degree. And he sent Krishna one letter, "My dear Krishna, just know for certain that I am Vasudev, and that I add then to myself protect the pious and annihilate the miscreants. Unfortunately, you happen to be imitating me, and I cannot tolerate that. So my suggestion is just send me back your disc and your club and we'll call it even." So Krishna said, when this message was delivered to the assembly of the Yadus, it said that they laughed for a long, long time. They thought it was quite funny. And Krishna said, my dear Pundraka, or my dear messenger, please give this message to your master Pundraka. Tell him that indeed I am like a black snake and your Pundraka is like a frog. So I'll certainly come and give him my message. I'm going to devour him. I'll certainly surrender my disc to him, because he'll cut off his head from his trunk. So he'll certainly get an opportunity to get my disc right between the neck. So it appears that Krishna is quite envious. Generally speaking, if a saintly person receives a message like this, he tries to say, you know, maybe there's a better way of dealing. Maybe we should have gone to mediation. Maybe there's some arbitration, something. You know, when did it all begin? Pundraka, did your mother mistreat you when you were younger? Maybe you can share my disc in club. You know, you can have it for a few days during the month. No, Krishna says, here's my disc. I'm going to cut off your stupid head with it. You're croaking like a frog now. But your croaking is going to end pretty quickly. So it appears that one of Krishna's personalities is that he's quite envious and harsh in his treatment to others. And at the same time, he's other things like Dhira Prashanta, very peaceful, magnanimous, Dhira Lalita, Dhira Dhata. So Krishna appears to be quite an unusual personality. But we can understand that Krishna says also, Pudaritranaya sadunam vinashaya tadispritam, that for the devotees, Krishna reciprocates in one way. It is not that one day he is in a bad mood and he attacks Yudhisthira Maharaj. No, he's always dealing in the same way to Yudhisthira Maharaj, because Yudhisthira Maharaj is dealing with Krishna in a certain way, and therefore Krishna is reciprocating with him as a devotee. Similarly, it is said that the demons, because they always have a certain mood of dealing with Krishna, Krishna always reciprocates with them in a certain way. Because Krishna is protecting the devotees are carefree. And they don't even bother, it says in the Nectar Devotion, to even lock their houses. Of course, not here in New York, at least. Devotees in New York, they always lock their houses. I don't know, here, do they lock their houses now, people? Yes. Previously, no problem. But the demigods are so carefree that they don't even bother locking their houses, because they're confident of Krishna's protection. And even the demons, they know that Krishna will only attack them under certain circumstances. That Krishna is generally quite reliable. If it's coming to protect his devotees, he always protects his devotees, and he always attacks the demons. Because the demons are always attacking him, therefore he reciprocates by attacking them. In the case of Prahlad Maharaj, who wasn't attacking him, but instead offering prayers, Krishna didn't say, oh, you're a demon, I'm supposed to annihilate demons. That's what I say in Bhagavad Gita. Sorry, kid. I gotta, you know, otherwise people will get confused. So, you're a demon, I have to attack you. No, even though Prahlad Maharaj is a daitya, born in the family of the daityas, still, Krishna, Lord Narasimha Dev, but he specifically came to protect Prahlad Maharaj, because that was the mood that Prahlad Maharaj was in. Samaham samabhuteshu na me dvesh dosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. Generally Krishna, maite teshu chapyaham, according to the person surrendered to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates with them. But for the devotees, there's a special relationship. It's one of unalloyed love. Here, in this pastime, as with all the pastimes, Lord Bohr is taking the position of defending the devotee in the form of the earth and the demigods. Ete changsa kalapunsam krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrare vyakulam vyokam mridayanti yuge yuge. You know, Krishna's coming millennium after millennium, always for the same thing. He's protecting the devotees and he's fighting the demons. Therefore, when we find out that Krishna is using harsh languages against Hiranyaksha, we shouldn't become disturbed. You know, what kind of God is this? I thought he was Krishna. He's smiling on the altar. He seems to be playing on a flute, but sometimes he gets into a different mood and you have to watch out. He looks pretty happy and peaceful, but under all different circumstances, he gets dangerous. And even he tells Arjuna, Kalosmi krit shaye krit pravrido, lakansa maharti hyaparita krite pitvam nabhi vashanti sarve ye vastita pratnyukeshu yoda. Time I am the destroyer of all the worlds, and I'm coming to engage everyone. Except for you, the Pandavas, meaning that except for the devotees, that time is killing everyone here. But Krishna, in the form of time, for the devotees, is acting differently. Ayur Harati Vaipum Sam. That with the every rising of the sun, people's lives are being lost. Ayur Harati Vaipum Sam. What's the next line? Udyan, with the rising. Udyan Nastan. Tiyayasal. Tesyarte. Tasyarte? Uttama shloka vartaya. That with both rising and the setting of the sun, everyone's day is being lost, except for those who are glorifying the all-good personality of Godhead. So how is it that our lives are not being lost? Because for a materialist, their life is simply trying to lord it over material nature. As long as they're thinking that they're lording over the material nature, they think that's life. Of course, they're not lording over the material nature, but Krishna gives them some ability, some means to do it. Like he gives them an illusory body in the sense that we're not the body, nor are we the controller of the body. We're the observer of the body. But we're thinking ourselves to be the body, and therefore Krishna gives us some opportunity to identify ourselves with the body and to take the credit to think. For the activities of the body. That's called the material existence. So as long as one is an illusion, thinking oneself to be the doer, and as long as one thinks one is gaining something in the material world and destroying the obstacles for so-called happiness, one thinks that that's life. And that's a period of time everyone is allowed to go through that process of being in that kind of illusion and trying to enjoy so many different material varieties here. But as time goes on, one gets older, and eventually the body gets old and incapacitated, and one can't do anything. And therefore one thinks, I've lost my life. And at a certain point, the second verse of the 14th chapter, Idam gyanam upashityam amasa dharma agata sargepi no prajayante pralayan avyantanti cha. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one won't become disturbed at the time of annihilation. In other words, if we find out that we're about to go to sleep for 4,300,000,000 years times 1,000, which I guess is 4,300,000,000,000 years. Oh, it's not that long. It's 4,300,000,000 years. Most people think, wow, I need a good rest. That sounds great. I've just got to get a good pillow. Nice, comfortable bed. But if we found out that we were going to go to sleep for that long, we'd probably get a little disturbed at the time of night. You're about to die, and you won't be born again for another 4,300,000,000 years. That's the materialists are in that consciousness that time will take everything away from them, even their consciousness. Even their ability to so-called enjoy a material sense gratification can disappear for an incredible long amount of time. At the end of 4,311, I guess it's quadrillion, 30 billion years, then Krishna, the whole cosmic creation is annihilated and everyone goes to sleep for another 311 quadrillion, 40 billion years. Nothing to do. No consciousness, nothing. So people get really disturbed. This sounds very unfair. We're given some opportunity to think ourselves to be God here, and then we get, every time we lose. So here Krishna is coming and saying, yes, everyone loses. Not only Hiranyaksha loses, but we also lose. Everyone who is not a devotee of Krishna, everyone's a loser here. Although people are claiming, as Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, they give themselves some false prestige, the discretinas. They hand out PhDs to each other. They give themselves Academy Awards. They elect themselves into offices. But they're all losers. They themselves are losers and they elect other people as losers. Therefore, when the Bhagavatam says, Svavarahit Kurusta. What's that first word? Svavarit. Rahostra Karar. Samstut Purusha Pashu. Niyat Karna Patiope Do Jata Karma Gajadraja. Svavit. So the dogs who eat stool. I hear this, the dogs. No, Svavit. Sva is dog, and vid is stool, isn't it?
Yeah, vidvara.
Oh, vidvara, so it goes with the varaha. I guess the dogs also eat stool, but there it's just the dog is a different thing. So vidvarahastra, so varaha, not this varaha, different varaha. The hogs, the dogs, the ustras, the camels, and the Svavidvrahustra Karaya, the kind of asses. They're glorifying the bigger ones. So that's the material world. Persons who are bigger animals, the little animals are glorifying the bigger ones. And therefore there's a sense of accomplishment in the material world. But as it says in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it's just a world of names. All we're seeing is earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego being transformed into different manifestations, and we think that this is a very nice transformation of earth. Earth meaning things that are solid, fire means effulgent things, just properties of the material energy has. They're classified into different categories according to their properties. So in a certain manifestation, a certain bag of earth and water and fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, when it's in a certain bag, we say it's beautiful and we want to take it home with us. But if we saw the same bag, another bag of earth, water, fire, air in the street, immediately we want to cross the street to get away from it. But it's the same thing. It's just slightly differently formed to give us the illusion, oh, this is a very nice bag. I need this bag. It's a big bargain. I want it. But it's the same thing. It's the same transformation of material nature, but just with a little adding of illusion, then we think that this is very nice. And with a different illusion, we think, oh, this is not very nice. But these bags of illusion, these like conceptions of illusion, they always wind up in the same place. Dead. Annihilated. Either in something dramatic like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, or in something less dramatic, you know, coughing yourself to death or something like that, sneezing. So of course those things are not in the Bhagavatam. Because everyone dies. Everyone's fighting against Krishna, everyone's struggling against time, and everyone winds up the same place, dead. But Krishna specifically chooses sometimes something more dramatic, so we can see that even we become as powerful as Hiranyaksha, that even the demigods are afraid of him, or Hiranyakashipu, Still, they wind up as dead as everyone else. So it is not that we should be disappointed. This fight is fixed. You know, why is Krishna picking on the demons all the time? Why doesn't he fight with someone who can, you know, if he's going to fight, he's fight with someone about the same size as he is. What kind of happiness does he get from this type of fighting? We may wonder like that. But Krishna was in Vaikuntha. He was getting bored. Couldn't fight with Lakshmi. Couldn't fight. No one was fighting with him. He decided, well, what the heck? I got this fighting propensity. You got to take it out on someone, so I'll take it out on one of my devotees. So the devotees are thinking, yeah, Krishna, he's reaching the boiling point. We better satisfy him. We'll come down to the earth planet. Let him knock us out there so he doesn't cause any disturbance in Vaikuntha. No, that's not the reason why Krishna wants to fight. Krishna wants to fight to kill the demoniac spirit, really. His real manifestation of his fighting spirit is revealed in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he comes to destroy the demoniac spirit, the demoniac mentality. That's all he really wants, is to change people's consciousness from demoniac to divine. Therefore, he chooses this particular dramatic presentation so that people get impressed that Krishna is not some ordinary personality that we're fighting with. Actually, in his form of Varaha, it's nothing compared to time. His form of Varaha, he killed one demon or a few demons, but in the form of time, he's killing all the demons. But in his form of Krishna, then he's saving all the devotees by teaching them Krishna consciousness. That same form of time, when it's under the realm of the internal potency, then it elevates the devotee progressively back to the spiritual world. So it's the source of life for the devotee, and for the demon it's the source of death. So here, Lord Varaha killing Hiranyaksha, the devotees should take pleasure, just like the devotees take pleasure when Hiranyakashipu is killed by Lord Nrisimha did. But the demons, they'll become disturbed, because they can't understand. As I mentioned before, during the court case in America where the devotees lost a considerable amount of money, one of the arguments that the prosecution or the lawyer on the other side was using, because it was a court case involving the so-called unhappiness or the depression that the parents experienced as a result of the cult kidnapping their daughter. So in order to show that the devotees, in other words, this particular father, he had a heart attack because his daughter had left him and joined the cult, and the cult didn't send this child back, knowing well that the father was in a dire state, but they couldn't care. They said, just forget about your father. Let him die for all we care. That was their argument. We don't care about these so-called fathers and mothers. Let them die. So to prove the point, they brought in a picture of Lord Nrisimhadev. And at least according, maybe the version was a little different, the actual version, but more or less the idea behind the story was they brought in this huge picture of Lord Nrisimhadev killing Hiranyakashipu, the archetypal picture of bifurcating his abdomen. And the lawyer said, one devotee was on the stand, just see here, who is this? Of course, the actual story is a little bit different, but he was indicating. The idea behind it was, his presentation was, is this your God or not? The devotee actually lied. We won't say who it was. The judge says, you know, he's going to actually charge the devotee with perjury. Anyhow, he said, is this your God? And if this is your God, who is this? This is Lord Singhadev, and this is Prahlad Maharaj. And who is this? His name is Hiranyakashipu. And what is the relationship between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad? Father and son, right? And your God is doing what to Hiranyakashipu? He's killing him. And this son is so bewildered that instead of trying to save his father, he's garlanding the killer. So this is your philosophy, right? And you worship this picture. The father is being killed, the son is garlanding the killer. Is this your philosophy? Is this what you're teaching your followers? So people will think like that. What they don't understand is that Nrisimhadeva is the original father and that he always protects his devotees. And Hiranyakashipu, he's a demon. He's being misled by the illusory energy for his own benefit so he doesn't become more and more implicated. Prahlad Maharaj was never in difficulty. The person really in difficulty was Hiranyakashipu, because the more he tried to abuse or molest Prahlad, the deeper was his implication in the laws of nature. The deeper was the reaction was going to be, the more intense the reaction was going to be. Prahlad was very happy in Krishna consciousness, undisturbed by the threats and torments of his father. But Hiranyakashipu was getting more and more difficult. Therefore, Lord Nrisimhadeva came to actually protect Hiranyakashipu. And indeed, he annihilated his sinful activities and he got an opportunity to get a better birth in his next lifetime. Because Krishna did not kill personally King Vena, the Brahmins killed him, therefore he went to hell. Someone's trying to tell us something. It's a message. But Prithu Maharaj came and saved him. So Krishna is very kind to everyone, even in this form of when he's seemingly killing the demons, he's actually protecting them. He's doing more favor to the demons than he is to the devotees in many ways. So therefore we should not misunderstand Lord Varaha. We should appreciate his activities. He's coming to save the devotees. He's coming so the devotees can appreciate how nice Krishna is, how absolutely nice his activities are, so that we can glorify him. That in all these different forms, he's coming in so many different millenniums, and ultimately everything is, his real heart is revealed most evidently, or most, it's most obvious what his real heart is when he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And although he doesn't kill demons in this incarnation, the real thing is that it shows that his real mission is to kill the demonic mentality. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
How did the devotees respond to the lie?
How did the devotees respond? They lied. And then they lost the case anyhow. They didn't take shelter of Lord Nrisimhadeva, therefore they got into trouble.
Denied that.
Yeah, they said, no. Is that your God?
Who?
That guy there. No.
That's why they lost.
Huh? Yeah, that's probably why they lost. Lord Nrisimhadeva, what? Who do you think I am? Leaving the courtroom all by myself. Now, could you imagine what kind of trouble you get into? Anything else?
Yes.
Well, as much as we take shelter of him, or as much as we take shelter of Krishna's devotee, ye dharmam ritamidam itoktam paripasvate sharadana mat paramat bhaktaste tivane priyaha. So one who takes the path of devotional service with faith, making him to be the objective, then Krishna says, he's very, very dear to me. So we take the process in itself, which means to take shelter of Krishna's devotees, then what Krishna considers is to be devoted. Krishna says that one who claims to be my devotee is actually my devotee, but not one who claims to be my devotee, tells Arjuna. So as much as we take shelter of Krishna's devotees, and to that extent we become devotees. Now the question is, as it says, Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, that because we're still working in the material world, sometimes there's a balance between our mundane activities and our spiritual activities, and sometimes we may do the wrong thing. But if we stay on the path of devotional service, Krishna will excuse us. But if we constantly do the same wrong thing again and again without any thinking that no problem doing the wrong thing because Krishna is going to save me anyhow, then one should not be considered a very high devotee. That's all. So as long as we're on the path, then Krishna will help us. Generally what will happen if we do that, he'll give us a good smack just to, you know, wake us up. But anyhow, as long as we stay on the path, even though the sahajis are considered to be on something auspicious, for doing something auspicious, because somehow or another Krishna's in the picture. But still they get karma. Just like we may even be getting karma also. It's not that although we're aspiring to become devotees or sadhakas, still we get karma. So it's not that the laws of karma in one sense stop for us. In one sense, as much as we're not absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we may get some reactions in the future. So Prabhupada writes that in the Bhagavad Gita, that although in the next lifetime, if we do the wrong things in this lifetime, we may get a lower birth, but still auspicious Krishna consciousness will continue anyway. So we're devotees, we're aspiring devotees, sadhakas, and Krishna will protect us. He'll always try to protect us. Don't do this, you'll get into trouble. The super soul goes, as we all have experienced, at least I do. I'm sure he's talking to everyone else. He goes, beep, beep, you're about to get into trouble. Hey, oh, come on, leave me alone. Why didn't you tell me when I need you? Beep, beep, you're going to get into trouble. And even you can sometimes see it, you know. Krishna says, you know, he puts little obstacles in your way and goes, well, come on. And if you're persistent and he laughs, oh, crash. Oh, Krishna, why didn't you help me? I tried. So it's a little, we have our own little transcendental pastimes with Krishna. But sometimes we get into trouble here. So in that sense, you know, we're not listening to Krishna, with the material nature misdirects us. Yoga is chalati manasa. And we get into a little trouble. So we're still devotees. But we're devotees, you know, not very high-grade devotees. Mixed devotees, at least. So it's not that only the first-class pure devotees, second-class pure devotees, and third-class pure devotees. And they're rascals. Anything else? Does that answer your question? Okay, thank you very much. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.